Hello and welcome to the Stu Peters Show. Sitting in tonight for Stu, I am Frankie Stocks. I'm a reporter here at the Stu Peters Network. I thank you all for joining me. Stu, I thank you for tapping me to fill in. We have a couple of pretty big news stories to go over tonight. As you all know, the federal government has released the JFK files, or at least what they're telling us are the JFK files. So we are going to dig into that. But before we do, there's a big story, a couple of big stories, actually, out of the Middle East that we're going to get into, because once again, the United States and the world really look like we could be on the road to war. So just in time to coincide with President Trump ordering the U.S. military to strike Houthi targets in Yemen, Israel has announced the cancellation of its ceasefire with Hamas. And on Tuesday, Israel began, once again, going on the war march. They bombarded Gaza. They killed hundreds of people, including, as usual, innocent women and children. And now, if we're to believe what Israel's government and what our own government are telling us, then this latest round of attacks, these latest bombardments, this is only the beginning, and there's going to be much more death and much more destruction. As far as Israel pleases, as much as they'd like. This isn't some kind of isolated incident. This wasn't an accident. It's not going to stop in Gaza. Israel is back on the war march. They were waiting for their moment to strike, waiting for their moment to pounce. And now they've done it. The United States has gone in and has started bombing the Houthis. The United States is saying, if Iran wants to buck up, if Iran doesn't tell the Houthis to stand down, then we'll go to war with Iran too. Trump's actually saying that he has a popular mandate to do this, to go to war with Iran. I mean, this is crazy, but this is where we are. And so Israel sees this. Israel's pulling the strings as a puppet master in the background, helping to lay all of this into position. And then they say, hey, guess what, boys? The ceasefire's over. We're going back into Gaza. We're doing whatever the hell we want. And they're not going to stop at just raising the rainbow flag, raising their Star of Rimfan over Gaza. That's not where they're going to stop. They're going to continue marching on. We know that Israel is taking land in Syria. They already are, and they want more. Look at the map of Greater Israel. Everybody's seen it by now. It's been on this show. Stu has shown it a million times. They make their plans very, very clear. They want territory. They're going to take territory. And the U.S. making a reentry into active hostilities in the Middle East, no matter how severe they are or may not be, that puts Israel in a position to start, I would say throwing weight around, but we mean throwing bombs around, throwing bullets around, mostly at women and kids and bystanders and really, you know, everyone but the terrorists that they funded, that they installed, that they put into power. They'll slaughter women and children by the tens and hundreds of thousands. But somehow, you know, the bad guys that they're always looking for, they always survive. They always get away. They just keep coming back. You know, it's a never ending cycle here. Not unlike the U.S. and our conduct, our nation's conduct, our government's conduct, I should say, and not just in the Middle East, but all around the world. There's always someone for the U.S. government to pursue, usually on behalf of someone else, usually on behalf of Israel. And that's exactly what's going on right now. The United States is laying the groundwork for Israel to go into all-out war, for the Middle East to go into all-out war. We're going to dive a little deeper into this. There are a couple of stories that I published over on StuPeters.com. You go to StuPeters.com, you click that news tab, and the stories all come right up. Let's go ahead and share the screen here. Again, this is StuPeters.com. There's three stories I want to run you guys through. The first one is this: bloodletting. Israel cancels ceasefire, attacks Gaza. So this is exactly what we just went over. More details are available on the website, but there's a quote that I would love to run you guys through. Perhaps most critical of the latest Israeli military action in Gaza have been the family members of current and former Israeli prisoners of Hamas, some of whom spoke to politicians and reporters in the Israeli Knesset building after the ceasefire was broken. Currently, 59 Israelis captured on October 7th are said to remain in custody of Hamas. So, of course, it's unclear how many of them are alive, how many of them are actually there. They have been used as propaganda pieces by their government, by our government, really by everyone. And it's hard to tell what's true and what's not. But the families of these prisoners, these hostages, whatever you'd like to refer to them as, they're blasting the Netanyahu regime. Our government is despicable to me. It simply decided to abandon our hostages today, both the living and the dead, by actually entering into a comprehensive war in Gaza, said Michael Ilowitz, the father of Guy Ilowitz, an Israeli whose death was announced on December 1st of last year. The Israeli government today, in its decision, decided to murder our children, he said. And that's exactly what's going on. They're murdering Palestinian children and they're murdering their own citizens. Okay, these people are psychopathic. They are absolutely insane. They are on the war march and they do not care who gets killed. They are willing to sacrifice their own citizens. We have heard for a year and a half now, constantly, just on a constant loop, we've got to go in and get the hostages, the hostages. We've got to go in and get them. The US has to do it. Israel has to do it. The world has to do it. What do they say? They're our hostages. They're the world's hostages. They have posters of them up in New York City. They have them plastered all over the U.S. Capitol building. They have them in congressional offices. They are used as straight up propaganda pieces to blackmail, emotionally blackmail the American people and anyone else they can catch into supporting the steamrolling of Gaza, the genocide of the Palestinians. These people are pawns. And just like this guy's father said, they're all going to be killed. Israel in shredding their ceasefire, and they know exactly what they're doing. Israel in shredding their ceasefire, they're killing off all of these people as well. You know, they went the Hannibal directive on October 7th when they called in airstrikes, called in the decimation of their own people, their own bases, their own communities. And then they made a bunch of Photoshopped pictures and told us that Hamas was burning babies in ovens. When in reality, Israel was firebombing its own bases. Israel was firebombing its own villages, its own kibbutzes, as they call them. Okay, so this is nothing new for them. They're going to do it again, this time in Gaza, and their own citizens are going to be slaughtered right alongside the Palestinians. I mean, these people are insane. They are bloodthirsty. And exactly what the title there says, bloodletting, this is a bloodletting ritual. 110%, make no two ways about it. Benjamin Netanyahu and his regime are feasting on the blood of anyone that they can get their hands on. Let's share the screen again up on stupeters.com. We're going to click over to this. Trump gave Israel the green light to resume their war in Gaza. So, as I mentioned, the U.S. strikes in Yemen, they coincided with Israel moving back into Gaza. And it turns out that Donald Trump, big shock, he took the call. He made the call. Who knows how it works anymore? You know, once you've been given $100 million by AIPAC, nobody really knows how it works anymore. But he either got the call or now he's the guy making the call. And he said, hey, go in and start killing people. The US will back you 100%. This is being reported in the Israeli press, as you can see right here. There's another quote that I want to jump into because this is from Caroline Levitt, the White House press secretary. And she confirmed in an interview on the Fox News channel that, quote, the Trump administration and the White House were consulted by the Israelis on their attacks in Gaza. She went on to say that President Trump has made it clear Hamas, the Houthis, Iran, they love bringing Iran into everything. All those who seek to terrorize not just Israel, but also the United States of America. Who's terrorizing us? Are you terrorized? I am not terrorized. Are you terrorized? Are U.S. ships being sunk in the Red Sea? No, they're not. Thomas Massie posted all the data on who the ships belong to, and they're not American. They're Chinese, they're Saudi, they're European, they're probably owned by Jewish business magnates, shipping magnates, whatever you want to call them. And that's who's losing money on it. And that's why the US government is pissed. They're not pissed because American citizens are being killed or hurt, not at all. But, anyways, Caroline Levitt went on to say that all the terrorists in the Middle East, the Iranian-backed terror proxies and Iran themselves should take President Trump very seriously when he says that he is not afraid to stand for law-abiding people, whatever that means. That, you know, our government tells us that the ICC is illegitimate when they want to indict Benjamin Netanyahu. But then They jump up and down saying law-abiding citizens. So is international law, does following some kind of international law that some nations have agreed to and other groups of people have not agreed to, does that make you a law-abiding citizen? You know, I thought that we were nationalists. I thought that we were America first. I thought that we were abiding by the laws of this nation and no other. But when it comes to justifying war in the Middle East, especially with Iran, the hottest target in U.S. history, the U.S., Israel has wanted Iran forever. So especially when it comes to Iran, they're going to use any kind of justification that they possibly can. And of course, Caroline Levitt wanted to throw in that the United States, that Donald Trump, everyone in the White House will always stand for our friend and our ally, Israel. And that's what this is all about. Again, the Americans are about to die. Americans are going to, not because of the Houthis, mind you, Americans are going to die because eventually they're going to be sent into combat with formidable foes, not with the Houthis, with the Iranians, with serious militaries and countries, like not a bunch of sand people retards who are launching drones that they ordered, what, off Amazon, or that they got shipped to them from the Iranian defect bin. You know, that's who the Houthis are. So they're, of course, they're easy to go and bomb and make a bunch of headlines and get people used to the idea of us going back into the Middle East. But Americans are going to die. Americans are going to be put at serious risk when and if the United States decides to go in and take on Iran on behalf of Israel, which there is every indication that that's exactly what's going to happen. Every indication. And one more of a piece of context here that I want to share. This, again, revolves around Washington and Tel Aviv, you know, the usual sites. CPAC, they had issued during their annual gathering this year a modern-day Balfour Declaration backing Israeli expansion. So just before Israel said, let's go back into Gaza and start killing people, just before the U.S. said, hey, let's start bombing, let's start striking the Middle East, let's start putting the battery in Israel's back and putting the battery in our own people's back through these pro-war psyops we see in our media every day, so that we can get ready to go in and secure some territory for Israel, for the Greater Israel Project. And CPAC passed what they referred to. This isn't me referring to it. Again, this is up at StuPeters.com. CPAC referred to this as the modern-day Balfour Declaration to back Israeli expansion. It was backed. This declaration was sponsored, was backed, was introduced by members of Benjamin Netanyahu's own cabinet, by members of the Israeli government, the Israeli regime. They came over to the United States to CPAC, which, of course, they're dumping money into, and all of the politicians there they're dumping money into. They came over and they dictated terms and they said, hey, you know what? Shabbos goys, you're going to pass a resolution. You're going to say that the Middle East belongs to us. You're going to give us sovereignty over Gaza, over the West Bank, over Lebanon, over anything and everything that we want. And then we're going to go in and we're going to take it. And, you know, you'll have given us permission. I mean, that's the perverted roundabout way that they do everything. It's very obvious once you start paying attention to it. It's like, you know what they say about noticing. Once you start noticing, you notice it everywhere. And not in a paranoid way, as of course the naysayers, the people who are out there running cover for these people. That's of course what they say. Oh, everyone who names the Jew, everyone who questions Israel, everyone who questions U.S. foreign policy, they're paranoid, they're nuts, don't listen to them. That's not working anymore because people are noticing the patterns. People are looking around and they're saying, why is America about to go riding back into the Middle East to go to war? In a fight that shouldn't concern us. Oh, that's right. It's because Israel said so. It's because they dumped $100 million into the president. It's because AIPAC is the biggest backer of Congress. It's because when I go to Capitol Hill for the Stu Peters Network, not a member of Congress will say to me, I support America more than I support Israel. Andy Biggs did. The only one without hesitation who did. Watch the video if you haven't seen it. Hideous. But that's who these people are serving. That is who members of Congress, members of our government, members of our White House who took an Israeli loyalty test to even get their job. That is who they are serving. It is a tragedy. It is a travesty. It is a stain on this country and on the sacrifices of our ancestors and everything that they gave to us so that we could live in the country that they envisioned, that they built, which has been destroyed, which has been taken over, occupied by the Federal Reserve, by their nation state of Israel. by members of our own government who do their bidding, by all the dual citizens running around Congress and the media. The list goes on. It's all disgusting. These people are traitors. And again, the United States is rolling back into war in the Middle East at the behest of none other than Israel. So I got to cut to a break here, guys. I'm going to be back. Thank you for joining me again. I am Frankie Stocks, sitting in tonight for Stu here on the Stu Peters Show. Don't go anywhere. I'll catch you back in a minute.
As Christians in a Christian country, we have a right to be, at minimum, agnostic about the leadership being all Jewishly occupied.
We literally should be at war with fucking Israel 100 times over, and instead we're just sending them money, and it's fucking craziness.
Look at the state of Israel, look at the state of Tel Aviv, and look at the state of Philadelphia. You tell me where this money's going. You tell me who's benefiting from this.
I am prepared to die in the battle fighting this monstrosity that would wish to enslave me and my family and steal away any rights to my property and to take away my God, go fuck yourself. Will I submit to that?
And if you've got a foreign state, you've got dual citizens in your government, who do you think they're supporting?
God, right now, would you protect the nation of Israel and protect those of us, not just our church, but every church in the world and in this nation that's willing to put their neck on the line and say, we stand with them.
You go to Trump's cabinet, you go to Biden's cabinet, it's full of Jews.
Black friend in school. I have nothing against blacks. She has nothing against me. She understands where I'm coming from.
Excuse me, I'm a Jew, and I just like to say that, you know, in our Bible it says that you're like animals.
The Jews crucified our God.
If you work out, if you go to the gym, if you're trying to drop some body fat, maybe put on some lean muscle, if you're even just a little bit paying attention to your physical fitness, chances are you're probably taking a protein supplement. Back in the 80s, all of these supplement companies told us, you gotta have more protein. They started pushing this massive protein consumption theory. The more protein you have, the faster you'll achieve muscle growth and muscle mass. So let's break that down. Let's just say that you have an 8-ounce chicken breast. That means that you're consuming about 40 grams of protein. You're putting it in your mouth. But just because something contains 40 grams of protein and you put it in your mouth and swallow it, that doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to absorb all 40 grams. Because without enzymes, most of that protein just ends up in your toilet bowl. Your small intestine can only absorb protein that's been broken down into what we call amino acids. So it doesn't matter. You can have 300 grams of protein a day. If you don't have a sufficient supply of enzymes to digest that protein, your muscles will just ignore it, fight it off. They'll starve of protein. So it's crucial that you have a high-quality enzyme. Now, before you just go running out buying bottles of enzymes, I think it's important that you know what to look for, because the sad truth is a lot of these supplement companies won't spend the money necessary to developing and stabilizing these enzymes. So the one I trust is from Bioptimizers, and it's called Masszymes. I love it because it's a full-spectrum enzyme formula with more protease than any other commercially available enzyme, with five different kinds of protease. Plus, it contains all of the enzymes that you need for optimal digestion. If your digestion is optimized, the protein that you're taking in actually goes to feed your muscles instead of going into the toilet bowl. So you're actually getting your money's worth. And today you can try it risk-free. They have a 365-day full money-back guarantee. That's the gold standard in the industry. If you want to try it, go to buyoptimizers.com/Stu Peters. Again, that's buyoptimizers.com/Stu Peters. And by the way, if you want 10% off, my good friends at Bioptimizers have offered that to you. Just use the coupon code Stu Peters at checkout when you go to buyoptimizers.com/Stu Peters. Who's paying attention to Bitcoin right now? Are you guys paying attention to what's happening with Bitcoin right now? nobody really, really knows. There's all this speculation, like, is it going to keep going down? What's it at, like 84, I think it was? 84 today? Yeah, is it going to keep going down? Is it going to hit 70? Is it going to go even below that? Is it going to hit 65? Is it going to hit 62? Is it going to pummel all the way to 60? I mean, we really are looking at times where if you regret getting in when Bitcoin was like risky and it was brand new and everybody made their hundreds of millions of dollars, we're kind of almost relatively at the same point right now if this thing is going to go back up. So we want to get our finger on the temperature gauge and we want to feel the pulse of Bitcoin. And so we're going to check in with Carlos Cortez for the Money Minute over at Cortez Wealth Management. What are your thoughts? Let's just talk Bitcoin today. What are your thoughts on this? And people can get more on this, by the way. Stu Peters Financial will be airing next weekend. There was one just this last weekend. Every 2 weeks, Carlos and I do like an extended Money Minute. A lot more loose, a lot more fun, a lot more informative. And you got to watch it. But what are your thoughts specifically on Bitcoin? People are panicking. People are loving it. People are buying dips. They're freaking out. The conversation right now is about crypto, specifically Bitcoin.
Yeah, I mean, long term, I like Bitcoin. I really think it'll go to 500,000 within 4 to 6 years, a million within 10 years. You know, I got laughed at basically when it was $3,000 and I said it'll go to 100,000 by 2024. I wasn't too far off. Bitcoin is going through its natural cycles, too. So we will see. I mean, if you look at Bitcoin historically, it is drawdowned multiple times, 40, 60%. So it's not uncommon to see a Bitcoin go from 110 to possibly even 70 or even 65. I think 62 will be the magic bottom. It's just my opinion, my prediction. Like, I could be wrong. Don't go shorting Bitcoin and saying I said it on Money Minute, but it's not investment advice. However, Bitcoin is going to go through this natural cycle where it's going
to come
back down. And yeah, that's where we're at.
Yeah, it's up to you guys. I can say what I'm going to do. I'm not giving you advice either, but I can say what I'm going to do. That's exactly what I'm going to do. Right. It looks right to me. And all of Carlos's shot calls have been absolutely right. Which is why we recommend that you call him. 813-448-3446 is his phone number. Also, make sure that you're watching Stu Peters Financial with Carlos Cortez, because we're going to break this thing down. Do you know that you don't even own your Bitcoin if it's in a wallet like Coinbase? I didn't know that until I was just reading up on it. I asked Carlos, is this true? So I'm going to ask him about that on Stu Peters Financial, because, everybody thinks that they're safe. Oh, yeah, no, I'm on the blockchain. I took all my money out of my safe. I took it all out of the savings account and checking accounts at those banks that are using the CBDCs and the FedNow program. I'm safe because all my money is in Bitcoin. I don't know about that. Book your appointment with Carlos at CortezWM.com or just call him in the office. 813-448-3446. More of the Stu Peters Show continues next.
Welcome back to the Stu Peters Show. Sitting in tonight for Stu, I am Frankie Stocks. I'm a reporter here at the Stu Peters Network. You know, at the top of the first segment, I mentioned the JFK file release, or the what we're told by our government are the JFK files being released to the American public after years and years of resistance from the government, after years of burning and blackening out entire pages full of information. But now they have been released, or again, at least what we're told are the JFK files have been released. And very, very quickly, people have started to zero in on some main culprits, you could say, including, of course, Israel, including, of course, elements of our own federal government who are in league with Israel. And this is not limited to, you know, spies in the CIA. This goes all the way up to Lyndon B. Johnson and others. Famously, George H.W. Bush can't even remember where he was, or couldn't even remember where he was, I should say, on the day of the Kennedy assassination. So it was very wide ranging. It included huge, huge, huge swaths of not just our government, but of Israel's. And I think that now that the files have come out, now that people are starting to at least, you know, if nothing else, it has made people think, hey, you know what? Our government did have something to do with it. They may not have all the answers, but I do think that people are now accepting, you know what? Our government was responsible for this. Our government in league with others was responsible for this. And it was really the beginning of the end for America. At least that's my personal take. Now, we're going to be joined in this half of the show by a guest, by Matty Wack, co-host of The Berm Pit. He's been here before with Stu, and I'm just going to go ahead and bring him in, and we're going to go with just laying out information because all of this is fresh. All of this is just coming in. I've been reading it since last night. I'm sure Matty has too, but you know, there's a lot of information here. So instead of preparing some kind of rigid segment here, I've got some links pulled up here. I've got some talking points and some questions that I've gotten. I'm sure Matty does too. So we're going to run through them, and we're going to try to get as much of this raw information out there as we possibly can. So without further ado, we're now joined here on the Stu Peters Show by Matty Wack, co-host of The Berm Pit. Thanks for joining us tonight.
Thanks for having me on there, brother. I appreciate it. I've been in spaces with you on X before, so we know each other.
Yeah, absolutely. This is the first time I think like we've talked face to face, but we've been in spaces many times. It's I always say like every time I get in a space, like these are really an amazing, you know, way to meet people and get ideas and things like that out there and bounce stuff off of each other. You know, it really is cool. But then taking it up to this level of being able to do like a face to face discussion, I think is awesome. So anyways, I want to kick it over to you and just ask Matty, what is your immediate take? What is your immediate feedback on the supposed Kennedy file release? Do you think they're legit for one? Do you think we're getting anything close to a full story? And then what's your take?
Well, you asked me to, I think they're legit. I will say this, parts of them for sure. But that being said, we'll never know the true answer, will we, Franklin? None of us will ever know truly what the real truth is. But if you look at them on like someone from a perspective of guys like me and you, we know that the Israeli involvement was there, right? All the evidence that we've known for years, right? It's all been thrown out. It's been put out there, I mean. Now, what I saw in here were the first couple pages of these files were multiple lines blacked out and redacted. These are the first pages they put out. Multiple lines were blacked out and redacted. However, when you look at some of the unredacted ones, there's multiple papers that have the stamp on it, Frankie, that says CIA has no objection to declassification and or release of CIA information in this document, except for, and it'll show you like a line and a name or a number, and you go down and you look at that line, Israeli intelligence service is circled, right? Russia via Israel. There's certain things that they're not going to put out about these particular items, which makes one question, okay, what's the involvement there? Why are you leaving those out? Why are you not declassifying the information when it comes to Israel and or Russia or via, you know, the communication between those two? Why are they leaving it out? But, Frankie, why did they give us that breadcrumb? If, in fact, the breadcrumb is real, why did they give that to us? Just to, like, throw the pro-nationalist, like, constitutionalist like us, a bone, here's your bone. We're mentioning Israel, but we're not even going to tell you to what extent. Yeah, go ahead.
I actually think that could be 100% a part of this, that there, you know, we can't cover it all up. The people are going to have too many questions. It's going to be too obvious if we black out every single mention of Israel, every single mention of the Jews, every single mention of the Soviet Union for that matter. And so some of this stuff is going to have to fall through the cracks so that people believe the version that they, you know, that's one of the things about this. I think there's so much information out there is that many different people are going to come up. They're going to reach a pretty similar conclusion, which is that our government, that Israel's government and that independent parties they were working with, that they killed President Kennedy. But I think that it's going to be different methods, different ways, different people involved at different steps along the way, unless someone just goes through and they read literally every single page of this. And even then, they're not going to have all of the information. So I think that they are throwing them a bone, leaving out breadcrumbs so that people will believe it, and then that they'll construct their version of events in their own mind and their own theories around this. One of the ones that they did, I have this quote pulled up, and let me get your take on this. This was very interesting that they let this, just like you said, they let this go through. They threw us a bone. This is a quote from one of the pages of the Kennedy files, and Stu posted this on his social media on X. It says, quote, "We now have plenty of money. Our new backers are Jews. And as soon as we or they take care of Kennedy, dot, dot, dot." So within the files, there are, just like you mentioned, these points where they let it come out. They let the Jews, they let Israel be named. But then you don't get a complete thought on it. You don't get a complete even sentence in some cases, like this right here. What do you think?
Yeah, you have no names. They say Jews. That's in there. That's written in there. But who? Which ones?
Yeah.
Who are they involved with? Are they part of Israel, Israel government, Israel intelligence? Who? The only thing they do give a name is James Angleton. He's a CIA agent back then, who we know for a fact did back channel communications with the head of the Mossad at that point in time. And there's actually a picture of them. Now, it doesn't say that they did anything bad. It just said that they were using back channel communications to communicate with each other. The head of the Mossad at that time period, and Frankie, there's actually a picture of them, and I believe it is in Dallas, to where the head of the Mossad and James Angleton, the CIA agent, are in a picture. So you now have the CIA, who has been blamed by most people for being part of the assassination, now meeting with, through back channels, with the head of the Mossad and a picture with the head of the Mossad, and I believe it's in Dallas. The Angleton's wearing a cowboy hat, but I'm not certain. But again, you have that connection there, but it gives you no more information, like you pointed out.
Yeah, you're right about the names too. You're not getting names. You can't pursue these people, you know, biographically. You can't look for anyone that's still alive. You're getting groups of people. And Angleton, he does seem to be, I don't want to call him the scapegoat, because that would be that's like minimizing his role. He's obviously heavily involved in all of this, but he does seem to be the Shabbos goy that they pushed out there, and they said, hey, let's name this guy in the files, and we're gonna again X out, burn pages that have others' names on them. So I find that actually pretty interesting, that he's the guy. Just like, what is it about him? I'm gonna have to look into that. What is it about Angleton that he's the guy that they actually let you know his name? Do you think that Lyndon B. Johnson had involvement with Kennedy's assassination?
There is evidence of that, but there is no proof. So I would say yes, based off of evidence. But again, there is no smoking gun proof. However, personally, yes, I believe definitely involvement. If you watch the New Mech documentary by Ryan Dawson, he does put connections there. And it does make him sort of guilty by certain associations, because the New Mech, obviously, which Angleton was a part of, allowed Israel to steal uranium right here at the New Mech facility in Apollo, PA, which, by the way, is only an hour away from where I'm at now. So that happened. That's why JFK wanted to get inspectors, AIEI inspectors, the Atomic Energy Agency, to inspect their facility in Dimona, because they weren't allowed to have nukes. They refused to let the inspectors in, and that's what got Kennedy pissed off about them, amongst other things, like wanting AIPAC to register under FARA. But the CIA was definitely involved with allowing Israel to steal the uranium out of New Mech.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that it's interesting that that LBJ has been linked back to this along with all the CIA guys, because when you look at who was running the guys of the CIA and the guys of the Mossad and who they're working with and intermingling with, there's a bunch of political operatives from Israel and from the United States there. And when they looked at President Kennedy and they looked at Lyndon B. Johnson, and they said it reminds me of the situation, you know, before Trump's heel turn back in 2016, when they installed Pence as his vice president, because it was like, hey, you know, if we get Pence in there, he can be controlled to a large degree by the GOP establishment, by the Bushites and people of that nature. Well, Lyndon B. Johnson was kind of on the ticket with Kennedy like that, it would seem. And then in that instance, they actually made their move. You know, Johnson, I find it really interesting that when Kennedy's in office, he's talking about going back on the silver standard. He's talking about issuing treasury notes instead of Federal Reserve notes. He's talking about not pulling us off the gold standard. You know, we'd been on the, in the process of rolling off the gold standard for decades, and then we were finally taken off. But Kennedy was ready to pump the brakes on it and to stop it, you know, and then Johnson gets in, the whole thing becomes a runaway train, much like it is today. Massive social welfare programs put in, government printing money out the wazoo like it's never been seen before, you know, pumping it into the economy, pumping it into the pockets of what later became NGOs so that they could turn around and use it against the United States. So I find that aspect of it very interesting, that there was certainly anyone looking to harm the United States when you have these two options and you have this guy who you say, this guy'd probably do a lot of work for us if we put him on the Kennedy ticket. And then they make that fatal move to actually take out Kennedy and install Johnson. Looking through these, what I've seen so far, there, it's not like there's some kind of smoking gun or, just like you said, anything directly tying Johnson particularly to the assassination. But when they start getting into the CIA and they start getting into the upper echelons of government, I'm like, it all radars start going off for me on Lyndon B. Johnson. And Johnson's also the guy, someone pointed this out to me earlier, and I should bring this up. Johnson signed, of course, the Hart-Celler Immigration Act that killed the United States of America and was written, of course, by Jews, but it killed the United States of America. I mean, that was a monumental moment in Johnson's presidency, him signing that Immigration Act, and this country has never been the same since. So, you start adding these things up, and it's like Lyndon B. Johnson was perhaps the greatest beneficiary actually in the United States of the Kennedy assassination, at least on a personal basis.
Yeah, I would agree with you 100% there. And again, you know, the funny thing is, before Kennedy was elected, he was kind of pro-Israel, pro-Zionist. And even if you remember the speech given by Benjamin Friedman at the Willard Hotel in Washington, D.C. in 1961, the famous speech that you can listen to on audio, I think it even might be on YouTube. This is before Kennedy was installed into as president. I'm not sure if he was elected yet, but he even said, and this is a Jewish man, Benjamin Friedman, who worked within the FDR administration with Bernard Baruch. He said, look, man, Kennedy is pro-Israel. I don't think he's going to be good. And this is 1961. But even back then, you had Benjamin Friedman say that Kennedy was pro-Israel. And I think after he became president, he started to see things and became very suspicious of them, always lying to him, especially when it came to the new nuclear facility out in Dimona. So I agree with you. I think that's why they had to get rid of him, as well as Barr, as well as the Treasury notes. He did print a $5 bill, I believe, and it did say Treasury note on it. I think it's a couple. Ken O'Keefe actually has one. He showed us when we interviewed him. So you're 100% right. They had plenty of reasons to get rid of him. If you look at the main beneficiary as a country, Israel is the main beneficiary when it comes to the JFK assassination.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think those Treasury notes that they printed, the ones that they did manage to actually get out, that those are worth like a pretty penny now, that they're pretty sought after by collectors. You know, they're because there's really there's not been anything like them since. And it, all indications now is that there's not going to be anything like it ever again. And I agree with you that Kennedy got into office and that he realized how bad things really were. And that, you mentioned earlier AIPAC registering under FARA. I mean, AIPAC still hasn't registered under FARA. I found it fascinating when I was asking congressmen who they supported more, Israel or the United States. And Dan Newhouse told me, I said, should AIPAC register as a foreign agent? And he said, aren't they already? Like, so these people, they think or they want to plead ignorance that AIPAC is some that is registered as a foreign agent because they know that it is a foreign agent and that the American people see it as a foreign agent. And I think that when you look, you can look to now to all the funding, and then you look all the way back to John F. Kennedy, and they've been flexing this like grotesque influence over the U.S. government, which obviously has included at least peripherally, you know, presidents being killed like President Kennedy. So we,
or
you know, it's
yeah,
absolutely.
Like Epstein. Yeah, go ahead.
No, go ahead on that point. Go ahead on the Epstein.
We were talking in the space today, and I'm going to give a shout out to the general and Salty Girl. We want to give a shout out to them and their space that we do every morning. Great space. Very high. General's a very, very highly educated individual. That's why I come on. I was very impressed on his wealth of knowledge he has on multiple subjects. But we were talking about how Marilyn Monroe may have been that honeypot trap, because we found out she married Arthur Miller, who was Jewish, and she converted to Judaism. Now, we don't know Arthur Miller's connection to Israel intelligence or the Mossad, But they think they tried to get Kennedy, maybe it's a theory that they tried to get Kennedy on a honeypot or honey trap with Marilyn Monroe, and maybe it didn't work out, so they had to go to plan B, which was taking him out. But again, that's just a theory.
Well, yeah, people have always believed that Marilyn Monroe was also taken out. What's the old story that they found undissolved pills in her throat and that, you know, she was dead and she didn't die of a drug overdose from pills that hadn't been dissolved and were just crammed down her throat? So, I mean, I think that AIPAC and the groups like it, that when you talk about the honeypots, that, yeah, they have like littered history with these types of people. And I think that if we actually got to, like, if these files didn't have certain names and people redacted, I think that we would actually probably see the names of some of the honeypot victims throughout history, who we could see these turns. I found it really interesting. We got to cut to a break, but I want to bring this one point in real quick. I found it extremely interesting that there was in these files, there was a letter from John F. Kennedy Jr. to Joe Biden saying, "You are a traitor." You know, what does he mean by that? Does he mean because Joe Biden is a Catholic guy who loves to talk about how he was inspired by John F. Kennedy? Did he get into government? Did he get read into the program? And then did he just say, you know, we're never going to release them. I know what happened. You're never going to know what happened. I mean, I certainly believe that's the case. What about you?
Well, it's interesting you mentioned that, because General was talking about that this morning. He said that he was responsible for signing that deal with Egypt in the 70s, I think, about leaving Israel alone. This is why we fund Egypt. Now it's $1.5 billion a year. But I think he was involved in that deal after the 1973 incident, where Egypt and Israel finally came to terms and didn't go, weren't at war with each other anymore. That was the deal. Biden was very influential in that deal with Egypt. So I think that may be part of it, where JFK Jr. called him a traitor by serving Israel's interest over America's.
Yeah, and that makes complete sense. And then Joe Biden obviously was rewarded for it time and time again, years down the road. Maddie, we've got to cut to a break here. Please hold over with me. Guys, we're going to be right back for more discussion here on the Stu Peters Show. Frankie Stocks filling in for Stu, joined by Maddie Wack. Don't go anywhere.
Don't let the IRS rob you. Where is your money going? Over 4 million government credit cards by federal employees were used to make 90 million transactions with no accountability. DOGE has found $4.7 trillion in federal spending that is untraceable or fraudulent. You work hard to pay your bills, and a significant portion of your money is funneled to thieves and fraudsters through the taxes you pay to the IRS. The IRS wants you to feel powerless. Be a slave that shuts up and give them your hard-earned money. But there is a way out of this slavery. Freedom Law School has been teaching Americans for over 30 years that no law requires 99% of Americans to file and pay income tax. None of their students who have stopped paying have gone to prison or had their bank account or property stolen by the IRS. Go to freedomlawschool.org today to take 7 steps to freedom from IRS deception, robbery, and slavery. For freedom, go to freedomlawschool.org today.
So RFK Jr. is heading up Health and Human Services. And of course, we have Elon Musk, who's heading up DOGE, the Department of Government Efficiency, looking into all of the unnecessary spending. How about we look into spraying the skies with poison? How about we look into weather modification? Yeah, it's not a secret anymore. We've all seen them spraying the skies. You can go outside and see the perfectly crisscrossed patterns. This mysterious fog that appeared, you guys remember that? People were just getting sick all over the place. Bioweapons being sprayed in the sky. We've seen graphene oxide samples, and now deadly bacteria is found in this deadly fog. You're getting poisoned everywhere. And so, of course, the old playbook is make it impossible to get real treatments that actually help you, and instead push you to Big Pharma, scare the hell out of you, and make you go get a deadly injection. No, not anymore. Remember ivermectin? It was hard to get to. Remember hydroxychloroquine? It was hard to get to. Doxycycline, dexamethasone, all of the things that actually treated people that were demonized by the murderous press. It's all available right here, right now, in the emergency kit that I've been telling you about. Get the ivermectin, get the hydroxychloroquine, the dexamethasone, get it all right here in this travel size case. It's ready to go. Guidebook for safe and easy use inside of this thing, putting urgent care right at your fingertips. Plus, it includes the immunity-boosting Z-Sac Nutraceutical, giving your body the extra defense that it needs on the daily, whether it's a sudden bacterial infection or a bioweapon attack, maybe a respiratory illness or something more severe. The Z-Kit has you covered. The purchasing process is fully digital. All it takes, just fill out a quick little digital form. Within 1 to 2 weeks, your kit arrives at your front door just as mine did at mine. Don't let illnesses and bioweapons catch you off guard. Order your Z-Kit right now at the famous ZStackProtocol.com. Go to ZStackProtocol.com and then use code SPN to save up to $48 plus get free shipping. Up to $48 off plus free shipping for this. It was hard to get ivermectin. Remember, it probably will be again. Hydroxychloroquine, dexamethasone, doxycycline. All of these things are included right here, plus a guide for safe use. Go to ZStackProtocol.com and use the promo code SPN. $48 off plus free shipping. And because we're America first and America only, it's available to American residents only. ZStackProtocol.com.
Welcome back to the Stu Peters Show. And tonight for Stu, I am Frankie Stocks, a reporter here at the Stu Peters Network. And I'm joined in this segment again by Maddie Wack of the Berm Pit Podcast. We've been having a great discussion about the John F. Kennedy file release, the information that we know, the information that we don't know, how it plays in to really the trail of political events that's taken us to this very day. So I'm sitting here looking at some of the JFK files. And I find it fascinating how much information is just like monotonous. You know, they took down references and notes of literally everything. And I can't help but believe that when this was all being processed and when this was being typed in, because these aren't just like field notes or something, these are all typed in, that the government said, let's make this as administrative as possible so that if it ever does come out, that people are going to have a really terrible time going through it. You know, Stu has a post up on his X page right now. And when you go to the National Archives website and you're looking through, and this was my experience as well, and I think the experience of many other people, when you're looking through these files and you try to search for keywords, it blocks you out of searching, for instance, for Israel. But it actually, when I was doing it, it blocked me out of searching for even for Lee Harvey Oswald and for people like that. Like, you cannot pinpoint anything in these documents the way that they're posted up onto the archives website. There have been some people who have come out and like organized them and released them on independent web pages by now, so it's a little bit easier. But I don't know. I find the how they bury the information to be extremely strategic. You know, I don't think that we were ever supposed to actually get the Kennedy files. And do you think, Maddie, that we're getting how much of the story here, if you had to put a number on it, a guesstimate, how much of the files have been destroyed, how much have been released, and are they still sitting on any of these Kennedy files, do you think?
We will never know. Put it this way. No one pointed to who the shooters were or where they were from, who they were working for. There's all this, you know, he said, she said stuff, or, you know, it eludes people to think something, but there's no black and white concrete evidence of anything. So no one's going to get arrested. I don't think anything's going to happen to Israel. No, you might have people now like thinking more Israel might be involved, but that's not really a win. You know what I mean? In my opinion, this is all milquetoast nothingness, unfortunately. Bones were thrown, but there's no concrete evidence to prove anything one way or another. I'm pretty disappointed.
Oh, man, I totally agree with you, especially the way that this has been hyped up. You know, you think back to Trump's first term and there was the big, we were told there were going to be all of these critical Kennedy files that were released, and then they came out. And, you know, there was some stuff in there, but really it was nothing new, nothing that people hadn't figured out over the course of years and years and years. I think that, like, no matter what they release, because, and I personally, I believe that they're probably still sitting on some files that for some reason they can't destroy, for some reason they can't get rid of. It may be some of the compromise type material that we were talking about before the break. It may be something else entirely. But I'm not convinced that they've released everything that they have. They could still be sitting, probably are still sitting on something. But I think that a lot of the information has just been straight up destroyed over the course of years. And I think that the American people, regardless, we're not going to get a definitive view from this. But I think that from the moment that that the Zapruder film became like mainstream, everyone can see it. And, you know, if you look into that, there's some questionable means of how this guy was even filming it. It's a really weird story. But once that hit the mainstream and once people started seeing it, I think it was like so damaging to the psyche of the American people of saying, wow, they lied to us the whole time, saying he got shot through the back of the head. And then we see him here getting shot in the front of the head and his wife is reaching onto the trunk of the car to pull his brains in. And I think that that was really... it was a watershed moment, not just the assassination, but then the mainstream release of the film, a watershed moment in American history of people being like, this government and whoever the hell they're working for, whoever they're not naming in the files, they really do not care about us. They were willing to shoot, to murder, assassinate a sitting president in broad daylight, you know, in front of his own citizens, in front of really the entire world. So what are they not, you know, willing to do? And obviously it's influenced other presidents down the road. Nixon, we were talking, I mentioned during the break to you, Maddie, Nixon on the recordings, the Nixon tapes, as they call them, saying the same people who got Jack Kennedy, they're coming after me. And then not long after that is Watergate. I mean, have these people ever lost their stranglehold, whoever the hell they are? And we obviously, as we were saying at the start, we have abstract ideas of who they are. We have some names of people who are dead, people who are never going to be held accountable. But as far as names like this guy is doing this right here, it's very hard to pinpoint them. But whatever organizations, whatever people, again, we know some of them, we don't know others. These are, have they ever lost their stranglehold on the U.S. government? Has it only gotten worse? What do you think?
It's 100% gotten worse. I think we know that by the influence over our government and other facets of our entire country, whether it's whatever corporations or media outlets, it's been consistently getting worse. And that being said, you know, you have no names, but at least people like us, Frankie, can be like, this is the country's government that is responsible. Can we at least acknowledge that and label them an enemy of America? Can we at least do that? We have enough evidence to say you are guilty of this country-wise, maybe not name, and your country is our enemy. We're cutting off ties with you. I think we have enough for that. I don't need names. I have enough evidence to show what country was involved. And also, people within our own government, within our own CIA, obviously were working in tandem with them, in my opinion.
Yeah, of course, they always are. And you're right. We can look at the country, Israel, who's behind this to a large degree, if not the whole degree, pulling the strings. And we could say, you know, if this was Iraq, if this was Russia, well, the United States would have had no problem. Actually, they tried to scapegoat it on the Soviet Union for quite a while. And of course, the Soviets being Jewish communists, they were involved in steps along the way, I'm sure, but they weren't the kingpin of the whole thing. It was obviously Israel. And if it was any other country on earth, we would look at them and say, you know, we will sever all ties with you. All of the money, all of the conversations, it's all being cut off right now. You are now an enemy of the United States of America. I mean, that's something you go to war with countries over. What is President Trump saying right now? They're blaming Iran of all people for these assassination attempts on him, which is an absurd and ridiculous thing to say and to blame. And then they're saying, if you do it again, or if we get an inkling, or if our intelligence services tell us that you do it again, we're going to go to war with Iran. You know, so this is in modern times being used as a pretext for war for something that's not even happening. Iran's not trying to, not responsible for the Butler assassination attempt. I'm never going to be convinced of that. That's ridiculous. It's probably the same people who killed Kennedy. The guy was in a BlackRock commercial. But what I'm saying here is, if a country like Iran or Russia or anyone was responsible for killing or trying to kill an American president, we would immediately get rid of them and then or start using it as bait to go to war with them. And with Kennedy, we know who did it. As you just said, we know who did it. And we continue to just, they come and eat at the American trough. And then that money goes into our own politicians and into their campaign coffers. And it's just a disgusting, disgusting, vicious cycle, isn't it?
There's been no signs of really getting better when it comes to it all either. Matter of fact, they own more state governors now as well, as we have seen in the past.
Yeah, they have what? Control of 37, I think it is. They have control of 37 states where they, if you want a job in the state government, if you want a contract with the state government, you have to take an oath of loyalty to Israel. Right. That actually, an attempt to do that fell here in Virginia, which I mean, obviously I'm ecstatic that it fell, but it is in the roundabout way of like a bunch of, you know, crackpot leftists, just pushed it. They wouldn't let it pass because they wanted to obstruct a Republican from getting what they would have called some kind of landmark legislation through. So it did fail, but it wasn't for the reasons of protecting speech. It was just playing political games, which is unfortunate. Eventually it probably will pass. So they have it where you are in Pennsylvania.
Yeah. Josh Shapiro is our governor here. So yeah, we're pretty much already underwater when it comes to that. But I don't know about the law with the pledge. I do know 37 states do have it. I'm assuming Pennsylvania does. I need to look. Maybe they don't. There's still some that are they have the legislation pending. But also, which is a big one, we can talk about this real quick, depending on the time we have. H.R. 6090 is still floating around in the federal government, the U.S. Congress. That's the anti-Semitism bill. It's probably going to reach the Senate sometime soon. What do you think? Think that's going to pass, or do you think it's just going to get thrown out?
Oh, I 100% think it's going to pass, and I think it's going to be signed. Trump has been out beating this anti-Semitism drum since he got into office. He signed executive orders on week one. What was it? Day two, I think, officially. He was signing executive orders telling the federal government to curb and combat anti-Semitism, to see who they can prosecute, who they can throw out of school, who they can do this and that to. I mean, they're thought policing this. And I think actually with these Kennedy files being released and people looking at this and saying Israel's obviously involved, Israel's obviously behind it, it's going to cause, you know, somewhat of a public awakening, a public awareness, not a mass awakening. I'm not delusional, but some people are going to notice it. And once they get online and they start talking about it, that's going to then be used by our government as a reason, as a pretext to continue to police and ban speech and accuse people of anti-Semitism. It's crazy. They throw things out there for us. And then once we react to them, which we should, we can't not talk about it. Once the masses start reacting to it and becoming aware of what's going on, they then use they weaponize the information they gave you before against you, and they try to shut you down. I think that it'll pass.
Yeah. Just to add on to what you said there, the kid that they arrested in Colombia, that he's Palestinian, he has a green card or whatever, he's legally here. The thing that I found pretty incredible was they didn't even charge him with anything. There was he wasn't even charged with a crime. They just arrested him and they're deporting him. So just imagine what they'll do to us. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah. They'll throw American citizens under the jail. Hey, we're out of time here. I'm running out. It's going to cut off on us, Maddie. Thank you so much for joining me. Maddie Wack from the Burn Pit Podcast. Tell them where they can get you on social media.
You can find us on YouTube for now until we get deleted and erased. You can go to our Rumble page. You can find me at whack.maddie on Instagram, or go to the Burn Pit Podcast on Instagram.
All right, great. That's Maddie Wack, everyone. I'm Frankie Stocks, sitting in tonight for Stu at Real Stocks on X. Thank you for joining me, and God bless.
I'm going to ask you for your undivided attention, because I'm going to tell you about what could possibly be the most important life-saving supplement that I have ever talked about. It's called Cardio Miracle. Each serving of Cardio Miracle has a combination of over 50 high-quality ingredients, including a huge variety of fruits, vegetables, amino acids, and herbs, all of which come together to promote your body's ability to produce nitric oxide. Nitric oxide is so important for heart health. It helps to relax and dilate your blood vessels, which supports blood flow and circulation. And I love that you don't have to take this giant pill to get all of this nutrition. No, Cardio Miracle comes in a powder formula, so it's really easy to mix all day throughout the day into juice or water and take it at any time. That also helps to support mood regulation because it's a neurotransmitter. It's a neuromodulator in the brain. So it can support the release of serotonin and dopamine, both of which are really important and involved in mood regulation. Cardio Miracle also supports mental clarity, sleep quality, energy levels. It can even help with recovery after exercise. Nitric oxide is essential for so many functions in the body, and Cardio Miracle supports the production of nitric oxide, so you get many benefits from just one supplement. Please go to highpowerheart.com. Again, highpowerheart.com. I'm telling you, this could quite possibly be the most important supplement that I will ever talk about, Cardio Miracle. Go to highpowerheart.com.
Are you using your phone, or is it using you? Rise above mass surveillance and discover a phone that protects your privacy and communications. Above Phone does everything your old phone does, without tracking you, while giving you complete control over your phone and apps. We are better than big tech. It works with any cell service. No forced logins. No advertising or tracking. Download apps privately. Control your phone and its apps with secure hardware. Introducing Above Suite. Includes a VPN, private email and calendar, private chats, video calls, internet phone, and a search engine. Don't worry if you're new. Every phone includes a free 45-minute live call. You also get free email and chat support, free guides, and video courses. You have the power.
Rise above with Above Phone.
AbovePhone.com.
AirWaterHealing.com is the leading manufacturer in filterless air purification systems. Whether you're dealing with pollen or mold or dust, shedding from your pet or vaccinated neighbors, mRNA spike protein shedding, AirWaterHealing.com has solutions for every scenario at home, at work, or on the go. Breathe with confidence. Don't let your air suck. Rest well knowing that your home is protected 24/7. So now you can get a unit for your home or a portable unit for on-the-go travel. That's airwaterhealing.com. Use promo code STEW for 10% off when you go to airwaterhealing.com. Healing.com. Healing.com. Healing.